All right, and we're starting another wonderful Fashionably Challenged Comics podcast. I'm Darren. I do From the Anti-Culture, which is at anticulture.com, and of course, my two co-hosts. Come on, guys.
This is Corey from DIY.
Oh, that's Bill from Dirty Illiterate Youth. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit drunk tonight.
Starting before me, I see.
Yeah, Phil's over there telling me, like, Corey, are you drunk before we do the podcast? I'm like, no. He's like, you better be.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is me.
So, I'm a little bit buzzed myself, but I'm fully capable of not, you know, making a complete ass of myself.
I figure about a half hour in, I'm going to break down crying about the end of Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, don't ruin the ending for everyone, because, you know...
I'm not going to ruin the ending, but I'm going to tell you, I would have been a better Scott Pilgrim than Michael Cera, and I cried like a little girl reading it.
This is truth. I do want to see that movie, because I want to see Michael Cera fighting. I think it'll be the most amazing thing ever. I'm going to sit there going, eee! But yeah.
I will probably see it opening night. I have, as Phil knows, I have like no
life.
I have no faith that it's gonna be good, because
we've argued about this a lot.
Yeah, but my interest is peaked. I will go see it on the night, and there's a couple. I mean, Michael Cera, I'm kind of done with after his last two movies, where he's played the same character for the last 8 movies. And then the last two finally kind of was like, oh, okay. But, I mean, there's some good, like, Jason Schwartzman is Gideon. That's a fucking brilliant, genius casting move.
This is truth.
I don't even know how that is.
Dude, Max Fisher, Rushmore, one of the greatest movie characters of all time. But,
I just read comics.
We're aware, Phil. We're aware. But yeah, I will probably see it, and Phil's already read it. It's on my library thing, because I can't really afford a book right now. I'm poor, but I might break down and buy it, I guess. But
you should.
In fact, you
should buy me the whole series. Christmas is coming up.
Christmas? It's July, dude.
Shut the fuck up.
My closest experience to Christmas would be every single convention I go to, because I go, ooh, I want, and I just walk around and I end up spending $200. It's like, damn it.
That's like when I went to Comic-Con. I think I spent like $340 at Comic-Con when I went.
Oh, yes. And for anyone listening right now, Phil's not talking about the current Comic-Con from this year, because none of us are there. In fact, it's going on right now. I say this because it's 10 p.m. here on the East Coast, but you know it's like, what is it, 7 p.m. over there? So they're probably having some kind of concert or something. I don't know, but you know, Comic-Con being the largest, biggest, you know, thing of Super King Big Nuts is around, because that's what they all are, bastards and their awesomeness and their 10,000 fans, and Jeff Jacks being over there being Jeff Jacks.
Yeah, it's a fucking, it's a shame I'm in my apartment. I never hated my life as much as I hate it right now, but...
Shut the fuck up, emo kid.
Well, you know, at least it's viable for you to go up there. I mean, I'm on the entire opposite side of the damn spectrum. I have to take a plane if I ever want to go.
Yeah, I know. I feel... I mean, there was so much talk about actually going this year, too, for me, and I'm kind of bummed it didn't work out, but I had, you know, just other stuff came up and other plans, and I went to Disneyland and other places and whatever. I'll go next year, I guess. It's just that it's right there. Like, if I look at a map, it's like, I'm only an inch away.
It's like, oh, damn it.
I can smell the Pocky from here, and all the nerds and
all the random models and dressed up in nerd gear, feeling very awkward as we hug them.
you can smell all the Pocky and BO.
Yeah.
Remember, there's only BO in various places, and I find the BO tends to center around the video gaming areas.
Oh, I was going to say around the Keen Space table, but that works too.
There is no Keen Space anymore.
Or Keen Spot, whatever.
No. It doesn't exist. There is no Keen Space, Keen Spot.
Keen Spot died?
Yeah, it's...
Where the fuck have I been?
It is not officially dead, but it is dead. It is completely dead. Everyone's jumped ship. Everyone good has jumped ship.
That's because they tried to do something to fuck them over. I think we talked about this last time.
Did we talk about this last time, or did we talk about this in private?
We might have talked about this in private.
For those of you who do not know, Kel McDonald, who is a girl, I believe. Yes.
She definitely is.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of tired.
I watch her use stream all the time.
Then definitely a girl. Yes, you're right. Yeah. I'm kind of out of it. Okay, Kel McDonald had a really bad experience at Comic-Con last year with the Keen Spot table, because they had lost her books, and that's kind of a big deal because, you know, you pay for your books to sell your books, and you know that's a good chunk of money out of your wallet there, and
yeah.
You know. She complained about it, and when she was having an interview with someone, I don't even know who, and they asked how's Keen Spot, she replied with, you know, I wish they took things a little better, and the people in charge of Keen Spot saw that as a huge big deal, and
they suck,
you know, quote unquote dropped her, and she was a little upset. And was like, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm done. And it was kind of funny because Scott Kurtz was talking all about this. It was like, I'm gonna rally to her savior, blah blah blah. You know, Scott Kurtz. I can't really relay how all this really went. If you guys want to go and check it out, I'm sure it's probably still on Kel's Live Journal. You know, if you feel like scrolling through a few months worth of crap, I'm not personally.
Does Keen Spot have anything to do with Keen Tunes? The Flash? They don't have anything to do with it?
Do they?
I don't know.
I want to say yes.
I honestly don't know.
I want to say yes.
Because I don't know either. But I've been watching Bonus Stage, the Flash cartoon, like, crazy lately. I watched all of them, and now I'm kind of going through them again, and I'm watching them because those guys did another series too, and seeing how they kind of sync up, and every time it's like Keen Tunes at the end.
I want to say yes. I know, because it has that.
They have no clue.
Because I don't know who else would have the word keen across their shit, you know?
I don't know. I tried to do a Comic Genesis once, and it pissed me off.
You see, I kind of liked Comic Genesis. I just, you know, there are some great people on Comic Genesis. There are some wonderful, wonderful people. You just have to get past the bad ones first.
Oh, no, it wasn't even the people. It was just, I hated the way their FTP system worked.
Oh, yeah. That. See, for me, I hadn't done a website in, like, 6 years. So I was like, okay, how do I do a website? Oh, this does it all for me? Okay, cool. Yay, I'm done.
Well, I mean, DIY was on Smack Jeeves, and I could deal with Smack Jeeves because I didn't have to fudge with the FTP. It was like, hey, here's an upload form. That's how you put your comic in.
Mine was, you know, put it in FTP and do nothing. Like, really?
Yeah.
Just make sure you put it in the right file. If you don't, everything goes...
And now I'm on WordPress with CommentPress, and it gives me a nice little upload form.
Yeah, I do like CommentPress a lot more now. It's like, ooh, I can really play with this shit and the widgets and what have you. And, you know, I told myself I was going to try and curse less to try and make this somewhat less explicit, but I'm really failing today.
Yeah, did you go through and listen to the old one and
Yeah. I listened to it and I said I was gonna edit it and I never did. So
then I
sent it to Phil and then I heard it all like today while I was at the beach and I was, you know, showing my friends. And you know, there was a point where I go, you know, remove this, future self, remove this part, and I go, oh wait, oh damn it. I was supposed to do that, wasn't I?
When you're talking about what's her name?
Erica Henderson, yes.
Which
it's now July. It's been a solid month after my last con. And I figured I'd probably talk to you guys about Artist Alley stuff and, you know, the wonders of doing an Artist Alley. The pain, the trials, the fact that I have to wake up before noon.
Yeah, go
that's
for it.
Bullshit. Yeah. Artist alleys are always different in their own ways. Some even, you know, your average artist alley will open at 10 if it's on time. I say if it's on time. A lot of times the artist alley doesn't open on time. If you're at smaller conventions or just have a bad artist alley director, then, you know, things will go bad, and that's what ends up happening sometimes. But the joys of having an artist alley table is, first things first, you have to check in, which is, you know, just going, hey, I'm this person, where's my table? And if it's a really nice area, someone will literally walk you to your table. If it's, you know, so you can go, oh, this is my table, hooray. If it's, you know, somewhat organized, they'll give you a number, and you'll walk over and find that table with that number, and you go, oh, here I am, hooray. If they're really, really cool, they actually have a little planogram they'll still send to you, like, months in advance, and go, oh, I'm here. And then they'll give you a number, oh, yeah, I'm definitely right here, hooray. I know exactly where I am now. Hmm. Yeah, and, you know, you just gotta grab your badges and shit and go, okay. Hooray, now I have to set up my shit, and that's a trial depending upon what you have merchandise-wise and how many people you have at your table. Like, at Anime Next, I had three different quote-unquote artists at my table. I had my stuff, my friend Adam's stuff, and another friend of mine, wow, I actually forgot her name. I haven't seen her in so very long. I want
to
see.
Way to go! You win.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little tired, okay, and I'm not Lana. That's her name, Lana. I'm like, it starts with an L. It's not Lisa. It's something weird. Actually, it actually starts with like a B, but that's a whole different.
Is she cute?
She's cute, but she would never date you.
Ouch.
Like, yeah.
that kind of hurt.
it's nothing personal. She'd never date me either, so it's not, you know.
But, I'm better looking than you.
Oh, excuse me. I happen to think I'm a very handsome man. I walk around like I am the biggest shit around, okay?
Doesn't matter, I'm still better looking. I got dimples and curly hair, bitch.
I got curly hair all over my chest.
And I'm also hairless, which girls like.
Blah, blah, blah. That also means you have no testosterone.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever.
Wow.
Back on topic.
Back on topic.
She's going to end up listening to this and be like, oh, I'll give him a call.
No, no, she won't. She's dating someone right now, and she's very happy. So
she'll be single sometime later.
Okay. She'll be in Israel when she's single. It'll be funny.
Never mind. Okay, back on topic.
Back on topic. Moving on. I had three people's worth of stuff, and the bad part about this was the fact that I was the first one there, and I had brought about the minimal amount of stuff I would need, and figured if I needed any more, if I sold a lot of stuff, I would go up to the room and make more, because that was so much more easier than having an assload of things going, oh god, oh god, oh god, you know. But the problem was that I had sat there and no one else had arrived yet. And this is funny because I had gotten a hotel room for the night prior so that I could not have to rush to the artist alley and make sure I was going to be there on time, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I was there with me and, like, a few other people. Yeah. Some friends who were just kind of helping me put everything together, and I had to wait a good hour or so before Lana arrived, and then another half hour to an hour until Adam arrived. And yeah, it was like, okay, well, I have very little stuff right now, but it was okay because no one had really arrived at the convention until about after 3 p.m. because it was still school being not out yet for summer for your average high school kids. Mind you, after 3, the fucking place exploded. Like, look at all the freaking people! But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed near people.
What are you gonna do for the con if you come up?
I don't know. I'm trying to go up for manga next?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, manga next.
I'm trying to go up for that, and hopefully I will, since I'll have a job lined up soon. I'm doing some design work and being a courier for a lawyer. So, hey, whatever makes the money. So if I can make it up there for that, hopefully I will be setting up at Manga Next.
Yeah.
And yeah. You were talking about a panel or something?
Yeah, I would love to do a panel for Manga Next on giving out the overall perspective of being an amateur webcomic artist, you know, because we hear from the pros, and you know they've kind of gone through their hardships already, so they're not having the same. I mean, they've gone through the issues, and they're like, yeah, I just got to keep with it, but they can't really convey the whole anger of dealing with the issues that me and you can.
Yeah, I think that would be good. That would be a mess, but it would be good.
Honestly, on the description, I'm gonna put on you know, not for the faint of heart.
not for the sober.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna find someone who's like, so how do you guys make a whole lot of money? Like, money?
Money?
We do webcomics.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, how the fuck do you? No. You do this because you love it. All right, the money comes later. Step one, be creative and make a webcomic. Step two, I don't fucking know. Step three is profit. Step four is burritos.
Dude, I want a burrito now. Motherfucker.
You know, all my best plans have burritos in them at some point in time.
As most plans should. As most plans should.
As every plan should. But, yes. Okay, yeah, some general warnings about artist alley tables, as, you know, Phil will be coming down. Rule number one, make friends with your neighbors. These people you will have to be sitting next to for the entire weekend. And it's best to, you know, smile and just generally make some friends along the way. You mean you might meet someone who might want to go halvesies on a table next time you get a table, or someone who's a generally better artist who can teach you some awesome stuff, or, you know, all this really cool shit that I see that's really, really great. Like, I actually met a friend of a friend who he was trying to introduce me to for, like, a year and a half, named Brielle, and she was actually sitting right next to me, and it was funny because that friend was rooming with me at the convention. And yeah, it was just funny. He was like, oh yeah, this is my friend Brielle that I was telling you about last year, and you're sitting next to her. I go, yeah, we're table buddies. You know, but you know, make friends, and you know, the easiest way to do this, if you are not social, is just to get like a little thing of Edmund's Donuts or something like that, and go, hey, would you like a donut when you first arrive?
Or a burrito. offer burritos.
Burritos are kind of iffy. Some people can't handle burritos, and they go, oh no, I can't have a burrito. Yeah. You gotta make the little sad quivering lip, but I got it especially for you, quiver lip.
I don't know. I don't trust anybody who don't eat burritos. That's just me personally.
But that's because you live in Vegas. That's the Vegas thing. It's like, what are we doing tonight? We're going to Roberto's.
Yeah.
I miss Roberto's.
Yeah, there are people on the East Coast where if they're like, if I eat a burrito, I'll die. I go, really? You'll die? You go, no, I won't die, but I'll make it feel like I want to die.
So, okay, what do the East Coasters eat? What's the East Coast of, you know, what's the burrito of the East Coast?
Unfortunately, there's no one answer for that. Each and every region has its own thing.
That's like us too, because I mean, yeah, the Hispanic culture is pretty damn
prevalent,
you know. Yeah, here in the Southwest of the United States, you know, between L.A., Vegas, and Arizona in general. But they eat different. I mean, stuff too. California's got a whole different. California's more health conscious than Vegas for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just wondering because, like, I know in the north, you know, in the northwest where I'm originally from, there's like a lot of seafood, a lot of like crab legs and oysters and stuff like that.
Yeah,
we got Waffle House.
Yeah, there's Waffle Houses up and down the interstate. But let's see here. I want to say in New Jersey, the equivalent of a burrito would have to be going to the diner. Because there's
in the
South it's Waffle Houses. In New York has like cafes.
Yeah, New York. Like, I remember sandwich shops and bubble tea. That's what I remember from New York.
They've got like outside cafe type things. Far northeast has again seafood, lobsters, and stuff like that.
I think that's just like on the coast of like the north,
yep.
Like west or east. It don't matter because
it's good fishing territory is what it is.
Yeah, lots of is the water
good seafood.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things that I don't know about the East Coast. Honestly, like I've only been to that side of the country like once or twice, and it wasn't nearly enough to say, you know, like I know the culture very well. I've been on the West Coast my whole life. So I just get curious. Like, what do they do in this foreign country known as the East?
Mostly.
We hump sheep.
That's the South.
Fuck you.
in the North, we, I don't know. And I don't know what the fuck we do.
You drink.
I haven't heard, damn it. I don't know.
You drink a lot.
That's just Staten Island.
That's any island, really. Every island I've ever been to, they drink like fish.
That's because they're surrounded by water. In case of tidal wave, they want to be able to swim.
And being drunk helps with swimming.
I don't know. That's the very first thing that came to mind.
Did we have a topic?
Yeah, when it was. I was discussing the Artist Alley stuff. Next thing with Artist Alley is finding good helpers, which is the hardest thing I have ever been doing. I've got some good friends. I've got some awesome friends. I have some terrible helpers.
That's like, you need to recruit webcomicers.
Yeah,
what you're going through.
Pretty much, you know. I need people who are artists and who are there to work and deal with their stuff, and it's very hard to sell things when you're dead tired and no one wanted to set up the table, even though you said I need helpers to set up the table in the morning. Why? Because I plan to be asleep until about noon, because I will be awake till about 4, if not later. Yeah, because Anime Next for me is a long freaking party.
And when I'm done with my quote-unquote work at Artist Alley, you know, I like to go out and have some fun, play some games, and do awesome shit because I'm awesome. And because everyone at the board game room knows me. I'm like hot shit.
The board game room?
Yeah. It's got board games, card games, all kinds of cool stuff. It's got Flux. It's got Gingerbread Horror. I don't remember. I can't remember the names of a lot of these games, but they're awesome games. Stupid Duel's fun if you're really creative with writing. It's a lot of fun. But it's really hard getting good helpers who will be there on the time that they say that they will be there, and you know, who understand when you say, hey, I need someone to set up at this time because I'm going to be blah blah blah, and you know, I need this and this, and you guys have to try to work together to create a general consensus on who will be at the table at what time and why and blah blah blah. And that's actually hard because, you know, it is a convention. You are there to have fun, but you're working in the Artist Alley, so you have to realize, you know, this is quote unquote work. This is quote unquote work as I'm singing Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody and leading an entire crowd along with me. Yes, this is work.
I haven't experienced it in like the con sense, I guess, but I did have to run a booth at Warped Tour one time for a local band that was playing at the Warped Tour in Sacramento.
Okay.
And it was kind of similar, I guess. It's probably not the same thing. They were selling their merch and stuff, and they were on the same stage as, like, this was like 2003. They were on the same stage as like some of the biggest bands of that time, like the biggest corporate bands ever. And so their merch was all along the same table. And they had about one t-shirt design, a CD, an LP, and some buttons. That's all they had. And then we look over and there's the Good Charlotte people right next to us. And they have about 25 different shirt designs, a whole back catalog, everything on vinyl, cassette tape. They got DVDs, books. They have all sorts of shit. They got makeup out. They got hair cream. They got hair products. They're selling burritos or whatever. And it was just kind of sad that we were like the little corner of this table and they were just seven tables.
Well, here comes my next tip with merch is, no matter how much merch you have out, whether it's a little bit or a lot, always stand there like your merch is the hottest shit ever. Like,
yeah, we did that too.
You know, just be like, really, like, you know, like I had my broken heart t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, like I'm wearing it. And I'm like, oh, what is that? Oh, see, this is my broken heart shirt because everyone's had their heart broken, and sometimes you just got to show it. And you know, I sold maybe two t-shirts, but you know, a lot of people nodded their head and they got it and they understood it and they're, oh, where'd you get this design? So, well, one of my main characters wears it, blah blah blah. Here's a flyer. Check out the comic. Yada yada yada. You know,
maybe if you'd update, people would read your comic.
You know, I've been busy doing album art for these three metal bands, and I just finished the last one, and I don't ever want to do any more metal art for at least the rest of August. You know,
I'm working on being a corporate whore.
Yeah,
I'll be right back. You all behave and whatnot. I'll be right back.
Yeah, he's gonna go find a burrito, but
or take a shit.
Probably both.
No,
one or the other.
I'm gonna take a piss. I'll be right back.
Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
Whatever. But I don't know. DIY has no official merch yet. I don't know. We're still pretty young, I guess, as far as webcomics go. And plus, we can't get on like a solid update schedule. It's kind of one week is bad for Phil, and next week he wants to update five times. So
Phil needs to realize when you've got that energy to to, you know, do stuff to put it in a buffer. Because then you don't know what's going to happen the next week. Like, I was super psyched to do art this week, and I went, oh, crap, I have album art I have to do. Crap. And so I've been working on that instead of comic stuff, and then I've been passing out on my computer.
Yeah.
If I can just not draw a zombie or devil or skulls for the rest of the next, you know, month or two, I'll be happy.
You know, every metal art caliber ever all combined.
It's like what do you want? I want like a devil. I go, okay. There's a devil. No, I want like a happy devil that's like gonna you know, convince kids that it's a good thing to be evil. I go, okay, something cutesy. There you go, Mr. Devil. Now you make a little more metal. Okay, let's add some, you know, leather pants and.
God.
Yeah, I don't want any more.
That's cool though that you're doing album covers. That's something. If I could draw in the least, I would probably try doing some of that, especially because I got some band hookups, because I know a lot of the local bands from Vegas and even some from like LA and the whole Southern California scene and stuff. I would probably try to maybe help them out with some logos or something or another. Phil's dabbled in it a little bit with some of our like friends bands.
I did a logo for Jerkin with Jesus, and logo will never see the light of day again. I actually only did the computer work on that. My ex-girlfriend drew the actual logo, and I did a logo for Dick Protection.
Yeah.
That was our friend Cody's band.
Man, and they were quite the band, too, by the way.
I actually liked them.
Man, there's still a lot of people that have flyers from the Jerkin' with Jesus art, actually. I run into people sometimes, and Jason's got one hanging on his wall. I got one hanging on my wall. And that thing, that was all over the school, too.
Which, it's really funny, because you look at that flyer, and it looks like it's inked. That was actually just a pencil sketch that I darkened on the computer.
It was very talented. It was a very, very good logo.
After we finish podcasting, I'll send you a link to it, okay, Darren?
I will have to see this.
Yeah, I got it. It's on my computer. It's I think it's in my MySpace or something that I don't even go on anymore.
Like, I have the link to it, and I have the original files for it. I also have the Dick Protection files, which was based around a Trojan condom drawing I did back in like 11th grade.
The bands from the Southwest are so classy. Dick Protection and Jerkin' with Jesus.
That's fine. All the metal bands ain't that much better. I mean, Nunchuck Wolverine. Not Nunchuck, Nunchuck. I go, wait, what? Yeah, because ninjas with nunchucks. I go,
you're stupid.
Remember, all you young, you know, working at artists type people, just because you draw art for people, and just because it's really good work, doesn't mean they're going to like it. It's going to mean that they're going to want something, you know, entirely different.
They always want something different. And I hate doing design work for people.
You know, design work is definitely very frustrating. So if you don't have a very good, you know, I guess, not people skills,
you aren't
but
patient.
Yes. If you're not very patient, don't even bother. I finally got the final design done, and I'm done with all the quote unquote coloring, even though I just kind of penciled it all, so it's a real penciled out sketch type thing. But you know, I'm done with it. I don't have to play with it anymore. He wanted it, you know, graphite pencil style, and I'm done. I don't have to, I'm not doing any more design work for the rest of the summer, I guess. You know, if I can help it.
because I don't want to deal with this anymore.
How unlucky would you feel if, like, this band became huge? And then, like, your art of, like, the happy devil with whatever it is, like, the biggest symbol in music history ever. It is, like, the Misfits fiend skull.
Honestly, I would probably not feel too terrible about it, but I'm pretty sure I might get sued by, like, Disney or something like that, because it you know, it's pretty reminiscent of, like, 1950s Disney style drawing, because I'm Darren. I don't draw super realistic. I don't draw, you know, anime style if I can help it. I don't draw anything very super realistic. I draw cartoons. I draw as cartoony as possible, because that's the way my mind sees things.
Yeah.
I draw super realistic when I can. You wouldn't tell it from DIY, but, like, you look at my other work, and I'm a sucker for realistic styles.
Yeah, you're really good at realistic. I don't mind sketching anime style. I just never want to do it on tablet ever again. Ever again.
Man, I'm super realistic when I get in my MS Paint. Just fucking
shut up, Corey.
You and your MS Paint. Anyway, what was that? I was on tip number 4.
I should do DIY realistic style one day.
You're like, ha ha. You should do DIY and nothing but pictures of you and Corey.
I actually have somewhere, like, it's on my photo bucket or something. I have one of the, like, reference pictures I took for one of the earlier comics. So it's like me holding a 40 looking like a dumbass. And I just have this, like, it's like put out into comic layout pictures of me. And it's like, I have a bandana in that picture, no bandana in that one, because it's Corey. I felt like a dumbass.
I don't know. But, where was I? I was on, and number five. And this is very, very, very important. And that is, always remember to keep inventory of your stuff. And there's actually a number of reasons for this. I mean, the first being for tax purposes. The second being to see how much stuff you sold. And the third, you know, so you can see how much you got money-wise. And go, okay, I have this much money. None of it came out of the cash box, hopefully. I should have a profit of this much. And if you don't, you go, someone stole some money from me.
Yeah, it's like, I used to sell art at First Friday in Las Vegas. It was like a once-a-month art festival. And keeping inventory was surprisingly important. It was like, okay, how much do we need to sell to make back our money?
Yeah.
Because we sold prints.
Prints. I wish I had a good style for prints. I don't yet. I'm working at it. I do want to do some prints, but yeah.
I wish I still had mine. I kind of threw them all away after I moved. But I had a bunch of prints of different stuff, and I want to make some more. It's surprisingly easy. We used to just go to, like,
Staples.
Office Max?
Yeah, Staples or
Staples,
Max.
Office Max. One of the places with a built-in printing place.
Yep.
And I actually used to lay them out, because this was while I was still in school. Like, senior year of high school, I'd go into the journalism lab. I was photo editor for our school newspaper. And I'd go in and lay it out in InDesign. It was a 8x10 print with a 5x7 square in the middle. So it looked like it had already been matted. But
right.
It was really just a black border.
Okay.
And I'd go lay it out, and it was an 8x10 print. Go to Office Max, have them print them out. It's like 10-15 cents a print, maybe.
It is surprisingly cheap.
And you sell them for $5, people will buy them up.
Yep. It's true. Completely and utterly true. And you know, of course, you know, you also have to put in how much time you put into this print and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But, I don't know, if you're like me and you end up just rushing after you have your idea down because you don't want to lose it, you know, like, but I don't mind giving one or two away to anyone who was just, you know, who just...
expressed interest.
Yeah.
That's,
you know, if it's something, oh yeah, blah, 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 I'm sorry, I don't have any money. You know, here, take a button. And
yeah. Man,
I was thinking about it, and it's like, if you were at a kind of semi busy con, it could be worth your time to even give away a T-shirt, and just get someone wearing it around, because
yep.
People are going to look at it, and if it's a good design, they're going to look at it and be like, all right. I want that shirt. Where did you get that? Oh, I got it over at this booth over here.
Yep. It's true. And
people do it all the time. They do it all the time at like car shows or, I mean, every band I've ever met, they give out free buttons because buttons are about the cheapest thing to get merch-wise, and they just, it's, yeah, that's what people do. And the free T-shirt thing, I've met a few bands that do it, but like at car shows, they do it all the time. Usually, big logo,
yeah,
and like the website on the back. I mean, you'd be shocked at how like good of advertising that actually can be.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. But the thing with T-shirts, especially when you're just starting out, T-shirts are, you know, they're semi expensive, and it takes time to make them if you're making them yourself, and if you're not making them yourself, they're a little more expensive. You know, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, getting someone to walk around with a T-shirt, blah blah blah, etc. That's great. That's wonderful. You should definitely have someone doing that. But I would probably want a friend to do that, or you know, or someone I know who, if I give this T-shirt to them, they'll wear it like every couple days or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
or you can be like. You could be like the band that I was watching their merch table for at Warped Tour. They gave out free shirts to just hot chicks. Like, free white T-shirts. Told the chicks not to wear bras. Walk around. I don't know how much the logo actually got read, but it was, like, stared at a lot, I'm sure.
or you could be like me and just, you know, have girls walk around topless in red paint with your webcomic logo on their back.
That always works too.
And I was like, I did it. Now I'm gonna write down my comic name on your back and your back, and you ladies go on out. Yes, yes. So
Corey and I need to start showing up to cons.
Yeah, we do.
You just want to see me painting tits.
Why not?
I want to paint tits.
Well, you know, it takes time to paint tits. First, you need to
get
everyone.
Well, I'll paint them better than you.
Oh, it's on, bitch! It's on. You know, I'm gonna be sitting there like drawing.
We're
like,
having a tit painting contest.
Tit painting contest. You know, if any of you ladies would like to come on by, just remember, no fat chicks. And by no fat chicks, I mean if I can't pick you up, you're fat.
See, if I did that, it would only be like 75-pound anorexic girls.
You see, luckily for me, I can pick up 220, 230.
Yeah, see, like anything over 130 maybe, that's out. I'm sorry, I can't pick you up. I can't even go to bed with you because if you roll over, I'm dead.
Yeah. So Phil's not sleeping in my bed because I'll roll over and he'll be dead.
No, hell no. I'm sleeping on the floor, and I'm humping like three people.
Oh, that's terrible, because it's normally guys on the floor.
I don't think Phil cares.
I don't care right now.
You know, yeah. I can see it now. I'm gonna roll over between two girls, because that's what happened at my last con. Did I tell you that?
I'm a...
That, Phil?
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah, that I woke up and
on the floor, and I'm gonna be laying there with like three girls and two guys.
Yeah, I woke up in my bed. There was boobs to the left part of my head and boobs to the right part of my head. I think I woke up and went, if I sneeze right now, I'll ruin this moment. Oh, damn it. I have to sneeze. Like, if I move left or right, I'm motorboating someone.
Man.
But yeah, it was.
We gotta get to a con, but I don't know if I should stay on the floor with Phil because Phil's apparently gonna hump everything.
Oh yeah.
Seriously,
if all three of us ever make it to a con, which hopefully I'll have a job soon.
Yeah.
So I mean that'll help a lot.
That'll help substantially. But you know, getting me or you to.
Getting you and me to one con isn't as big of a deal, but getting Corey there, if all three of us end up at a con, we have to do a panel. We have to fight for a panel.
I want us doing a panel together, just be like, these two do a collaboration comic, I do a solo comic. Okay, everyone, flasks out. Let's begin.
Right, okay, so I need to talk about this since it's taking so long. I'm completely... fudging out of it. DIY has been on semi-hiatus. This is entirely my fault. Corey has even gotten me scripts. I've been shitty at drawing them. It is, Friday? I'm going to be working on comics all weekend. Hopefully we'll be switching to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday update.
Nice.
Because I feel I'm unemployed right now. I'm not in school. There is no reason we shouldn't be updating.
Right.
So, we're going to be working on that. And I'm sure this is the first Corey's heard of it, because I'm fucking shitty at telling Corey things.
Nah, it's cool. I mean, shit happens, and as long as we come back, dude, I don't really care. I just want to keep doing stuff.
I don't think DIY is going to go anywhere in the long run. We're missing updates here or there. I want to really get serious on this, and maybe going to school will help me
focus.
Help me focus up on it. Thank you. And yeah, fuck you. I can't focus for shit right now. But like, it's amazing how much a webcomic can take up your life.
It really is.
Like for something that. Like, I don't make shit for money. I've got maybe 50 cents from Project Wonderful advertising and money I can't even touch from Google advertising until it hits a certain point. There is no money in making a webcomic at the amateur level.
Not at all.
You have to do it for yourself, otherwise it's going to die off. I feel weird because it's like, I remember reading through old questionable content comics. And he makes a post about how, like, 35 comics is where the average person stops off. And I was reading another comic recently where they said the average webcomic ends at, like, 200 comics. I don't even know anymore, but I don't think DIY is going to go anywhere because it is something Corey and I love doing. It's something we've wanted to do for a long time. And honestly, when we started this, we didn't think it was going to go anywhere. We figured we'd get 7 comics in and end like we had every past time we tried doing a webcomic. So the fact that we're at 40-some comics is amazing to us. And honestly, I love it. Even if my biggest fan is Darren here.
It's true.
And, I mean, it's worth it to know that at least even one person is just stopping by and reading the comic.
Yeah, I was a little sad when I woke up. I'm like, oh, it's Friday. Phil should have an update. Click. Aww. I would pester him, but I have to go and meet these bands and hand out their artwork. Get paid.
Yeah.
Mm.
And also, since I'm going to be doing some design work for someone, that should hopefully get my artistic juices, tasty, kind of like tuna fish, flowing.
Oh, God. And yeah, but conventions will be a freaking blast if we can all get together, because it'll be like crazy shit.
It'll happen eventually.
Yeah.
It's got to.
I figure it'll happen, like, way later. Like, not this year.
None of us are going anywhere. I'm hoping I can at least make it to Manga Next.
Yes. I really hope you can, too. I think we'll go nuts.
Yeah, I could see probably me going to some of the West Coast cons by myself before we all meet up. And
you should. Like, definitely. Like, if I've been working on some t-shirt designs and stuff, and once I get a job, I'll have the money to make some. And I'll definitely send some up there so you can go to a con.
Oh, yeah, dude, for sure, for sure. They have them. There's a lot of them here in Vegas, actually. It's
there's tons of shit in Vegas like that.
Yeah, a lot of anime stuff.
Like,
one of them just.
We're kind of in between that anime style. Like, my drawing style is close enough to anime. We could probably go to an anime convention without a problem.
Honestly, I think any webcomic can go to an anime con and not have a problem, as long as you have something to relate to your audience, like my wonderful character Elle and her knowledge of anime.
You mean voice acts?
Listen.
Did you do some research on voice acts for that character? I think you did.
If you want to call research me sitting there and listening to my friends and my friends' sisters and all those wonderful girls I know who like man-on-man sex, and I know
you did it. You sat and you watched Yaoi.
I have not yet watched Yaoi. I think the closest I've come to Yaoi has been Futanari.
I'm sorry, but I think just looking at the other comics on Smack Jeeves, I've seen enough Yaoi to make me cry.
I mean, I've seen lots of homoerotic.
Well, look at the Against Me concert with all the razor cake shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of.
Like, I look at it, and we're honestly not your, like, DIY is not run by your typical comic people. We're like DIY punkers.
Wait,
like, do-it-yourself punkers.
Wait, I have a question. There are normal webcomickers? Like,
there are typical webcomickers.
I don't think there are typical webcomics. I mean, I've met a lot of these people, and except for, like, the professionals, you can't see me doing air quotes, you know, there are no typical.
I don't know, like, DIY, like, I don't even know how we approach it. Like, we approach it like a bunch of punker kids trying to set up a show for some band we really love. That's how we run DIY.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we can even relate to most other comics because we run it like we're trying to get a band to come play in our town.
I think anybody who listens to the podcast is going to get it like right away. Like, everything I've done in my life has to go like hand in hand with music. And I'm not just saying that as like some trendy kid who's just trying to make it sound like, oh, music's my life. Oh my God. Type thing. That's not what it's.
We ran a promotion company trying to set up shows.
Music's
been a big part of our lives.
Yeah. And like DIY is kind of just like an extension of like, I mean, DIY, do it yourself. They'll change the acronym to Dirty Illiterate Youth, but I mean, it's still there. It's one of those things where it's like, that's the way we really approach the whole thing. Because like, people are like, "Oh, are you advertising your comic?" And like, my initial thought is like, advertising it, fucking make a flyer, pass it around, post it on this, take it to the record store. And I think that, like, especially as it goes on and we get more joke comics in, like, after, the comics about, you know, I mean, we're going to have story-driven comics, too, but there's going to be a lot of comics that are going to have to do with music and love of music and what Phil's listening to and what Corey's listening to.
I think it suck.
And I disagree completely. And it just is going to be comics like that, though. Yeah, like the Tegan and Sarah one, or like the Against Me ones, are
Like we make jokes about music because that's what's passionate to us.
Yeah, and it just we work it into everything we do. That's the way it shall be from now on, forever.
Cock and a half.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Thank you.
See, you know, I mean, you guys are smart in the fact that you're taking things that you know, that you're passionate about, and you're putting it into your comic, kind of like what I try to do with From the Anti-Culture. You know, before I ever got into art, I was a huge science geek, and so, you know, for me, it was not a process of you know, like whenever I make a gadget or something from the Anti-Culture, I think, is this in any way, shape, or form feasible? And I go, with our current technology, no, but if we could find a way to do this and do this and do this and do this, in theory, it could possibly work. You know? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, it's not a question of, you know, it's impossible. It's a question of, it's not possible now, but it could be possible at some point in time. You know, I mean, for fucking sakes, no one questioned the damn replicator on fucking Star Trek.
Well, man, that's Star Trek, dude. That's a documentary. That's why.
A documentary of the past and that's Star Wars.
Man, nobody questions Calvin and Hobbes at all.
Yeah.
The dude's cloning himself in a cardboard box, traveling time in a cardboard box. That's all we need to do it.
Yeah. How'd you do it? I had a cardboard box.
Damn straight, motherfucker.
Now what are you doing? I'm peeing on shit, and it'll be plastered all over the back of cars.
As far as
I can see.
Like, Bill Watterson, he actually didn't want, like, there are, like, so few actual legal Calvin and Hobbes things. Because he didn't want anyone using his characters. Because he thought it would detract from the authenticity of his art.
Speaking of, we were talking earlier about the Keen. And I was asking about Keen Tunes. There's a cartoon on Keen Tunes called Evil Josh and Billy. It's all about that, Phil. It's all about Bill Watterson. And like they find him, and then like he's like some caged beast, and it's really interesting. But they actually discuss that in there, I think, where it's like he didn't want the stickers to be made, and he's all pissed off and stuff.
He was.
Yeah, like that's the whole thing. Like he's looking around and he's seeing people that look like Calvin, and he's just like, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's hilarious. It should be watched, but it's Yeah, I'll send you the link later because you got to do it. And it's got a great song by Lemon Demon at the end called Bill Watterson. It's terrific.
Yeah, that's something a little like upsetting to me because, you know, I don't like the thought of people using someone else's material, you know, for financial gain.
Yeah, and. I think Bill Watterson definitely fell victim to that. I don't know who first started doing, like, something had to be up. He had to agree to something, because it's not like people just said, we're going to use Calvin for this, and like...
No, seriously, that's what happened. Like, the only licensed Bill Watterson work out there is his comics.
Yep.
The, like, Calvin and Hobbes anthologies. He, like, licensed one, like, Learn to Read book or some shit. And he licensed, like, three other things. All the Calvin pissing on things are all pretty much illegal.
Yeah.
They're not copyrighted work.
Mitch Clem did a comic about it, too, didn't he? I can't remember. Didn't he say, like, something about how he's going to make a sticker of Calvin pissing on a sticker of Calvin pissing on something?
Yeah, he did a comic about it, I mean... Bill Watterson didn't like that at all. He was so, like, anti-capitalism.
Yeah.
He was like, he wanted to keep his art real. He was like, okay, this is the comic, and the comic is it. I don't want lunch boxes. I don't want this. He didn't. He took the opposite route as like Charles Garfield. Schultz.
He went neat.
Yeah,
now.
Or
as Charles Schultz licensed everything.
He's the Kiss of comics. Yes, he's got everything. I just read the Charles Schultz like biography the other day. Yeah, you told me about it. I don't know if it was the biography. It was kind of like an anthology thing where I had a bunch of Peanuts comics and then like a big old chunk on like who he was.
It was like text comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read that shit. I mean, it was interesting. But at the same time, it kind of made me sad a little. It was like, this is what it's like to live as a cartoonist.
Yeah, if you think about it, like, think about comics and even like cartoons, like in the mass media. The biggest ones that sell the most and do the most, they get, you know, most of their money from just whoring themselves, basically. And, you know, to say what you want about it, like, the dudes from South Park, and I know it's like being really, people are really like hip these days to like not liking South Park. It's like the new trend. Like, people just don't like that show. Like, people who used to, like, love it, I guess. I don't know. It's, like, the new trend. Like, all of a sudden, it's not cool to like South Park for everybody, but...
Why did that happen?
It's happened, though. I don't know. The same thing. I mean, I remember back... It just happens with things. Like, things will be, like, the coolest thing around, and all of a sudden, people are just hip to just, like, oh, that's shit. No,
I mean, it's like... South Park did get preachy. It was like, South Park was like, we fucking hate everyone. And it became cool to not hate everyone. But it's like, I remember back when South Park was, like, first season running, they're like, this is what Kenny's saying. Fucking ads. Like, way back when.
The thing that they have taken, though, is they've gone to pull it full circle back to music is like, music these days as like actual CDs and stuff is not what's making those artists money.
No.
It is the sell of merch. It's the sell of, you know, it's the live show, yeah, with music, but it's the actual like t-shirts and shit. So what South Park has is South Park, you know, they still sell the DVDs and all that, but they're like $10. And you can watch all the episodes for free on the internet. That, like, the creators have actually licensed themselves every episode. Like, if a new episode comes out on, like, Wednesday, they'll have that episode up on the internet Thursday. You can watch every episode from every season, and it's legal, and it's not, you know, anything like that. And what they have realized, though, is just all the money is in the merch. So every time, you know, there's 20,000 Mr. Hankey fucking plushes out there, and then people buy them, and that's where they make their money. That I understand to an extent. Like, that, I understand that form of capitalism. It's the people more like Bruce Springsteen. I don't know who his webcomic counterpart would be. I don't know. But, like, he gets pissed off that, like, his albums aren't selling 17 bazillion copies and that he's got to go on tour. I've got to make another record.
Oh, yeah. I know who the... I'm trying to remember. Who was that? There was, damn it, it'll come to me. I know who's like that.
Yeah, then that's what we're talking about though. How we're like, we understand like the passion aspect of making web comics or music or anything that you're passionate at. You don't do it to make money, like right off. Like, we're not doing this right now to make money.
No,
and, like, that's preposterous to even think about, kind of, but.
There's no way we're making money off this.
No, not yet. I mean, we might see some of it, but I mean, I don't ever foresee us going and being like...
Being self-sufficient off our comic.
No, and I mean, even if we're making decent money off it, if we ever get to that point, which is like a one in bazillion chance, but hey, you never know, I guess it could happen. I mean, there's always, I mean... You don't make that much money just in general, even if you are pretty big. Like, I mean, the biggest bands in the world make decent money, but they're not like, it's not like it used to be. You know, bands like Blink-182 used to make bazillions and trillions of dollars. The pop punk bands that are in the mass media now, like All Time Low per se, they don't make they make like 1/30th of what Blink-182 made in 1999. And they're making that now. And they are the equivalent of what Blink-182 was in 1999 right now. They are like the biggest like pop rock band around, I guess. It's true, Phil. Don't tell me it's not. It's true.
I'm not arguing with it.
Yes, you are. We can hear it. We can hear your thoughts. No, it all makes sense.
Fuck you, I'll flush a toilet right now. Oh, shit. Corey just dropped his call.
Oh, it's madness.
Yeah, I don't even know. Corey just, like, dropped offline.
Oh, maybe he lost internet.
Probably did.
Well, I guess we'll have to cut it out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's it. This is the Fashionably Challenged Comic Podcast. We're a bunch of shitheads.
It's been fun. Corey dropped out. Review of the day is, you know, we're not at Comic-Con. Artist Alley, don't be a douche. And, webcomics don't make money.